Dear Diary, we never expected to become swingers. We actually resisted it for a long time. Now it's just too much fun, and this amazing journey has given us some secret, sexy stories to tell. This podcast is our attempt to educate, entertain, and pay it forward to all the curious, skeptical, and nervous future swingers out there. We hope to expose you to a few things about the joys and the benefits of swinging and help steer you away from some of the drama. We are on an awesome sexual adventure filled with fantastic new friends and experiences that for most of our lives we never even knew existed. These are our stories.
Welcome back to Swinger Diaries.
This is episode 23. Why do you tell your stories? I'm Penn.
And I'm Paige.
I didn't know if we would ever say that intro again.
I know, it's exciting and a little nervous coming back.
If you've never heard our podcast before and someone told you about us,
or you've just stumbled upon us,
we've had an interesting rocky road in podcasting, and this episode is our return to switching on the microphones and recording our stories.
We were on for a while, about a year, and had some family problems. A nosy family member that forced us to turn off our microphones. We hid them in a box in the basement. We didn't think we'd ever do it again. But we're back.
We're back. So this episode is a little bit different than some of the other podcasts that we've done in the past, because a lot of this episode we're going to talk about podcasting and about why we do it and why we did it in the past, why we got started, what we loved about it. We started originally, remember, because it was just for us. It was like, we have awesome stories, we love to tell them, and we never thought that anybody would care about our stories. But over time, people did. They listened, they liked it, and we developed enough of a following that people missed it when we finally determined that we weren't going to do it anymore.
When we pulled it down, the response we got from people was surprising.
Yeah, it shocked us.
It was heartwarming, and we still were getting emails just 2 weeks ago from people saying, you guys have got to come back, and we really missed it.
So a lot of that's what we're going to talk about today, a little bit of our road, our journey, what this podcast is about. So if you have found our podcast recently and you've been listening through the episodes and you get to 23 and it sounds like, why are you talking about starting over again? There was a long gap between episode 22 and episode 23. And in fact, at one point, there was an episode 23 in which we said goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has been erased and we have a new episode 23.
A new and improved.
Right. We're back.
Yes. Why do we tell our stories? That's what we're talking about today.
For people who are new to our show, let's describe it a little bit for them.
We're a longtime married couple in the Midwest. We have a big family, lots of kids.
We've been in the lifestyle for about 6 years. We were married very early at 21. We were virgins when we got married. We spent 20 years of totally faithful, totally monogamous, totally devoted, loving marriage before we stumbled across the lifestyle when we were out adventuring for vacation. And when we did, we found that there's a whole world out there that we never even knew existed. And we very, very slowly baby stepped into it. And so over the last about 6 years now, we've developed a lot of information. And, you know, we appreciate as parents that you want to pass the information that you gain onto people. That's kind of part of growing up. And we feel like this podcast gives us that. It's a chance for us to remember our stories. It's a chance to tell other people about it and a chance to help people along the way others helped us when we were new. So our show is practical information, the typical perspective of more of a classic swinger, a couple who is really devoted to each other and uses the lifestyle to just enhance their relationship to each other.
And we have done a lot. We're pretty adventurous. We like to travel. Our children are older now so that we can get away more. And we are adventurous enough that if there's something new out there, we're going to go find it and try it. I feel like we have tried a lot of things that are out there in the lifestyle. So we have a lot of good information to pass along. What to go to, what to avoid, how to stay out of the drama.
So who listens to our show? For the last 22 episodes, who do you think our listeners are?
Well, we thought it was mostly newbies or people on the fringe trying to get into the lifestyle, wondering what it is really about. But then once we pulled our show down, we realized it's not just newbies. It's tons of people. It's people not interested in the lifestyle at all. It's people that have been in the lifestyle for a long time that just want to hear about different adventures.
If there's one audience that we really think we can help the most, it really is people who are new, who are curious, who don't understand what it is. You know, it has bad reputation out there in the general population. People think of the lifestyle as dirty and seedy, and it's bad marriages, it's dissatisfied people, it's weird, fringy stuff. But we are very mainstream, and we are very, very much in love, and we represent a huge part of what the swinging lifestyle is. There are a lot of people just like us.
Mm-hmm. We're hanging out with them right now. We just celebrated 25 years yesterday, married. We're at Desire, and there's people that we met that are 32 and 24 and 26.
Yeah, there's a lot of that in the lifestyle. And so we hope that we can give a voice to those people, but we hope that we can give you practical, honest, candid information. That's what the show's about. So on a housekeeping basis, so that you're aware, if you're new to our show, you'll find an episode about every 2 weeks, so twice a month, in your podcatcher. We're pretty consistent with that. We pride ourselves on being professional enough to make sure you're going to get a show regularly. And the format of our show is that it's a 50-50 mix. We spend the first half of the show talking about a topic, something that is a question that somebody new or curious or skeptical would ask about the lifestyle to help them learn a little bit about it. We tell you our perspective on it. And then the second half of the show is a story. It's something that's happened to us. It's a part of our memories, one of our hundreds of encounters that we've had in the lifestyle.
It's the best part. The first part can get a little dry and boring. You can always fast forward to the diary story. We did the podcast because we had all these stories. Every time we went out to a club or an adventure or a vacation, we would record the things that we did. So someday when we're 80 and we're in rocking chairs on our porch, we can listen back and say, we were so cool when we were younger.
I like that we did that. And I think that when we run into people and they've heard our show, they often tell us what a revolutionary and cool idea that is. That after we would leave a party, we'd say, this is just so cool and awesome. We need to remember this. And so we started keeping a diary for ourselves. We'd turn on the phone, push record, and then we'd just remember all the very intimate, very private thoughts and things that we did. And we totally recommend to newbies, do it. Mm-hmm. You will love the stories that you develop.
And we enjoyed that when we'd meet people, they would thank us for the podcast and how much we've helped them get closer as a couple, open lines of communication, talk about things they've never talked about before. We felt good, like we were helping people. But we did have to stop the podcast. We had a nosy family member. We were worried about our privacy. And it was a big time commitment. And at the time of our life, things were pretty busy with our kids, with our work, with our schedules. But we realized we miss it too much not to do it. We miss the bond that we had over microphones and how remembering our stories, how much closer it brought us, how much it opened up the windows more to each other. And we like to remember all the crazy stuff we did.
And then I usually get laid when we're done.
Yeah, we do have a lot of sex. It's all good. So we're happy to be back.
The lifestyle's been really great to us. We love it. When we talk about the lifestyle, what do you think we get from it? What do we get from swinging?
Well, we get a more open communication between the two of us.
Yeah. Years ago, before we ever started swinging, we thought we had a great relationship. And we did. We'd been married 20 years. I never wanted anybody but you. You were my high school sweetheart. You were the person I grew up with and spent all my time with. And I was totally devoted. And I thought I knew you really well. And we knew each other. But you learn more about yourself and each other. So it brings you together as a couple.
And we have pride in each other. I love it when women flirt with you or women are like, oh, wow, your husband's so fit or such a nice guy.
As you mentioned, we are at Desire right now, and we love Desire. It's in Mexico. It's a lifestyle-friendly, clothing-optional resort, and they have theme nights, of course, every night, and last night was corset and burlesque night. You know, we bought this new corset for you. I bought thigh-high stockings for you and a garter belt and put you in these super hot high-heel shoes and you did your hair and your makeup all up. I mean, you looked amazing. And then I get to parade you around and show off the treasure of my life. Look how gorgeous she is. And men and women are coming up to you, fawning over how beautiful you are, telling you how gorgeous you are. It's like my head's going to explode with pride.
But let's be honest. That corset, it's not like, oh, I'm just going to go in and put it on and zip it up. Oh, no. Girls, you know the pain of a corset.
Beauty
you have
is
to
work.
Loosen up all the strings. You put it on, and then you stand there for 30 minutes while your husband pulls those strings so tight.
I thought I was going to have to put my foot in the middle of your back and hold the strings and lean back.
You cannot sneeze because there's no big breaths going on in that. And then when you go to sit down, you sit up totally straight.
It was awesome.
It was
your boobs were going to fall out of the top of it. The garter was so hot. I mean, I couldn't stop rubbing your butt. At the end of the night, somebody came up to us and said, I've been watching you all night and I've got to feel your ass, please.
It was actually the wife, and she came up and she said, you know, we're really new to the lifestyle and we don't really know what we're doing. And we don't really want to do anything, but my husband really wants to rub your ass. So I went over to him and I'm like, please, rub away. Go for it. He's like, I can't stop touching it. It's so amazing.
But that's part of the fun of it, is you get this pride of, look at all these people who appreciate how gorgeous you are, appreciate the gem of my life.
We do make a lot of new friends.
Yeah, that's a big advantage, too.
That's a huge advantage. I mean, we have friends all over the United States.
Yeah, plus the lifestyle's a big world. I mean, there are millions of people that are open-minded to sexual exploration and sharing it with others. And yet, people who engage in it regularly, who visit the places we do, go to the clubs or go to the resorts like we do, it's not that big a world. And it's very common that you begin to see a lot of the same people. And so that familiarity makes friends. It's an awesome network of friends, like any other hobby.
Yeah. And it's a good sexy secret between you and I. I mean, we can be in the kitchen making dinner for the kids, and you can walk by and whisper, I know what you did last night. Or I know what you wore yesterday, or I know you don't have underwear on right now. And it keeps our spark alive. It makes us more in love with each other. And even doing the mundane homework help with kids, it's a sexy secret we have.
That's the double-edged sword. Obviously, it's one of the things that everybody worries about is, I wouldn't want anyone to know. It's the secret. We have to hide it. We have to hide it. And yet having that secret is part of the fun. We know people who are open about it. Good for them. I got no problem with that. We're not. We're in the closet. We tell no one. We are scared that anyone might ever find out. And yet there's a certain charm to that. That private secret that only we have.
And I think our kids see it too. And to them, it just means like our parents have a great marriage.
Yeah.
I think we're setting a really good example for them.
I agree. It makes us better people and therefore better parents.
And it makes us happier with each other and in life in general.
Totally. That's what we get from the lifestyle. And we've talked about that in other episodes. So that's nothing new. But for those of you who are new to our show, that's our perspective on it. That's the angle we're coming from. That's who we are.
Mm-hmm. So what do we get from podcasting?
Yeah. Why did we turn the microphones back on?
It was really me who prompted it. I was the one who insisted that we tear it down. And now it was me coming to you again and saying, you know what? We need to go back. I miss that. I miss that extra time alone with you. I miss the little extra spark it brought to our lifestyle life and our regular life. I miss the time that we had to commit to each other to make the podcast, to write the notes, to do the editing. We needed that back. Life gets busy, and we're pretty busy people most of the time, and I missed it. I missed you. I needed that extra connection that we have through podcasting.
Just like swinging is a hobby, and it's something we have in common, and something we talk about, and something we look forward to, and we buy clothes for, and we talk about the friends that we have, podcasting is like a secondary hobby, and it has all the same sorts of things. We talk about our friends who also push record. We talk about what we're going to do next. We talk about emails that we get. it's exciting and it's very fun. And it's something that we share together and it brings us closer. So yeah, I miss that part of it too. So we appreciate you who indulge us to listen to our stories. But as most of you know, we record these stories first and foremost for ourselves. We're pretty selfish about it. We're not here to change the world. We're here because it's fun. Mm-hmm. We're podcast listeners. We love listening to shows, and we'll come across shows that we really enjoy, and we get to know the people who are talking because we invest time in hearing about their life and their stories. And then something changes in their world, and all of a sudden, no new episodes pop up on your podcatcher, and you're like, what's going on? Where'd they go? So when we recorded our shows, always, we committed to ourselves to say, we will not be one of those couples. When the time comes that something comes up and we just can't do it anymore, we're going to record one more episode. We're going to explain to people what happened and where we went. And we did. About 9 months ago, we had one more episode and we said, we have this problem. We have a family member who's become very nosy, and we're sorry to say, but we're just going to pull it all down.
So when we pulled the plug on the podcast, the amount of emails we got from fans, the emails of concern, it was impressive. It made us feel good about what we had done and sad that we had to pull down our podcast.
When we stopped recording, it shocked us how powerful a podcast is, how many thousands of people seem to listen to it. And the emails that we got from people, they blew us away. There were three main themes that we got.
They were very concerned about us, making sure we were okay, our marriage was okay. They were concerned that they were losing us as friends, and they lost the resource of our advice, our stories, our
help for newbies.
Yeah.
And so we're happy that we're able to come back and hopefully give back those things to people. And thank you, all of you who sent us those touching emails.
Very sweet.
Made a big difference to us. But now we appreciate you indulging our chance to revel in the fact that we are back and we've missed it and we've missed you, and we hope that we've got some great new sexy stories to tell you all about.
And now, diary, here's another entry into our sexy journal. So this diary story, we had just this summer. We had an email from a couple that had listened to our podcast. They were just very nice and thanking us for it.
Okay, they were smoking hot.
Oh, they were. They sent us a picture. And when you get a picture from listeners and they're hot, you're like, all right.
Unfortunately, they live very far away. They live in California. So we're in the Midwest, and we don't go to California very often, but these people were hot.
So they said, hey, if you're ever out this way, we want to buy you a drink to thank you for helping us on our own adventure in the lifestyle. But it just so happened we had to head that direction. We were in Vegas.
Vegas isn't far from California.
We can figure out a way to meet them. So we actually said, how about we meet you at Sea Mountain?
So if you've not heard of it, Sea Mountain Resort is just north of Palm Springs, California. It's about 3.5 hours from Vegas, but it's a place that's been on our bucket list for a long time. It's a nude, lifestyle-friendly resort.
House. House resort.
And we told our friends, these listeners who had emailed us, hey, if you want to join us, we're going to be at Sea Mountain adventuring, finding out what it's about.
So they did. They said, yep, we've called and signed up, and we had called and signed up, so we were excited to meet them.
So we drove through the desert, 3.5 hours.
All I know is the drive there from Vegas, hello desert. I kept saying, if this rental car breaks down, we are in big trouble. I mean, first of all, it's 115 degrees outside, and there is nothing. There are dust bunnies and jackrabbits, and that is it.
I mean, we're from the Midwest where everything is green and lush most of the year or covered in white snow. This is like Dust Bowl.
Creepy. Yeah. It was really kind of creeping me out. I mean, there was no one on the roads. There was no towns. There were no gas stations.
Yeah. You know, that's the high desert of California. So
it was interesting.
Yeah, very cool. So we finally get into town. Of course, we're looking for a resort. we're thinking, oh, we're going to the resort.
Yeah, but we didn't realize we were going to the neighborhood and going to a house in the neighborhood.
It's a large home, and it's a walled home. And what goes on behind the wall is private to the rest of the neighborhood. But don't kid yourself, it's in a residential area.
Yeah, so. And so you pull up, and there's a little lot next door that they use for parking. And you get out of the car, it's like thump, 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 loud music coming. And you're looking around at all these neighbors like, do they know what this is?
Yeah.
Do they realize what's going on next door?
Cars parked up and down the street all over.
Every weekend, doesn't that just drive you crazy? I don't know. We walk over to the door, and it's this big, dark wood door. We're like, oh, my gosh. Like,
we thought we had to give them the secret passcode or something.
Where are we? Can you just open the door? It's really hot. So we gave them our name, and they were like, yep, okay, hold on. And they come down and open the door.
Super friendly people.
He's like, oh, welcome. We're so glad you're here. And we walked up the steps into the house, and there's a pool right there. And I was like, oh, my. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday, July 4th weekend, and there are people having sex all over the place. We've seen a lot, but that shocked me.
Our eyes were bulging like, wow, this place is for real. These people are serious about their sex.
I mean, you could see at 2 a.m. This is 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, it's a totally wild, very cool environment. It's a cool little place. It's not very big. It's a small pool and lounge chairs around it. There are only about 8 rooms or so there. And the rooms are nice and they're clean. A few people stay, but mostly it's a day type spa. A place to go for the day to meet and mingle and drink and party and pass margaritas around and then
have a lot of sex.
Have awesome sex. If you are a voyeur or you are an exhibitionist, this is your place.
Definitely. And I love to watch. I mean, I really do. I'm such a voyeur, and I never knew that was my thing until we got into the lifestyle. For a voyeur, it was my dream. There was so much to see. There's a big pool, but half of it is a deep end. I mean, it's a normal pool that someone would have at their house. Well, you can't tread water and talk to people. So everybody is smashed into the shallow end, and you have to stay in the pool. It's hot outside. Like everywhere you go in the lifestyle, everybody's super friendly, super outgoing, super flirty, super touchy.
So we're sitting in the shallow end. We've got a drink in one hand, and you're just chatting with people. It's pretty sexy, and all around you can hear moaning, and you can hear, like, body slapping because there's people on the pool deck having sex, and they're on the lounge chairs. They're having sex. In the water, the waves are, like, lapping against your chest because they're having sex, like, all over in the water. And it's so tight for space that
at one point, a gentleman said to me, hey, could you help me out here and hold her leg? She's tired, but I got to have her leg up.
We're shoulder to shoulder with a drink in one hand and a lady's leg in the other hand.
We're having drinks, trying to share some stories, and I'm holding a woman's leg in my right hand. Okay, I have to talk about one foursome that I really enjoyed watching.
Oh, yeah, you were so into that.
I was so distracted. There was a foursome, 2 women and 2 men, and one of the guys happened to be African-American, and he was
dark-skinned. Yeah.
And to watch his skin tone against the 3 others that were lighter skinned,
right.
It was so erotic. I couldn't stop watching them. Plus, they were right in front of my face.
They're on this lounge chair right on the side of the pool deck.
He was doing doggy, and then his woman was eating out the other woman, and she was giving her guy a blowjob. And just that contrast of this different skin tones, it was a voyeur's dream, I have to say. But
well,
anyway.
It got us really hot.
I was so hot. It was so hot to watch. They didn't even know I was so excited about their foursome.
So we're in the water, and as we expect might be the case, a couple came up to us. Actually, he came up to us. Our new friend, whose picture we recognized, he came right up to us and said, it's you, it's you. Hey, we want to meet you. Really great, charming, fun, personable guy, and
she's beautiful.
Yeah, just as sexy as their pictures. And we were like, score.
You know, even though it was very crowded, because it was the holiday weekend at Sea Mountain, and there were a lot of things going on, we got very into a deep conversation with them right away about their story, how they got in the lifestyle, about how our podcast influenced them, them asking us questions about different adventures and different stages in the lifestyle.
You know, this is sort of a one-sided friendship with all of our listeners. They hear all of our stories and we don't get to hear anything about them. And so we don't need to talk about us when we're together. Mm-hmm. We want to hear about them and how they got started. And of course, we're flattered with the fact that our podcast had some influence on them. Mm-hmm. It helped ease them into it. Mm-hmm. So it was really fun. We sat in the jacuzzi and we just talked and got to know them and mm-hmm. became friends. Our one-sided friendship became both sides.
Right.
So we're in the hot tub, and they're so fun and charming, and their stories are cute, and we're learning about them, and of course, we've got all kinds of new stories, so we really get to know each other more, and as is the case, you're packed in tight with a lot of people, so you get to be shoulder to shoulder, and then you kind of move, and you become chest to chest, and pretty soon, there's
lip
a lot
to
of...
lip.
Well, there's a lot of skin contact.
Because you're naked. And he's very flirty, outgoing, confident, charming. She was a little more reserved in the beginning,
yes.
but warmed up after time.
Right.
Almost a little on the shy side, which I can be too, so I totally get that.
Right, which is weird because she is clearly a former model.
I mean, oh, yeah, she's beautiful.
Tall and dark hair and beautiful and lean and just perfectly proportioned. And mm-hmm. so you expect a woman like that to have confidence and pride. But she's shy and she's reserved and everyone has their insecurities and she did too. And those insecurities to me.
I know. It turns you on.
I know. I love a woman's insecurities.
That must be why you love me. I've got plenty.
Quickly, things escalated. Skin to skin, there's a lot more touching. Hands start roaming. Fingers start roaming.
Mm-hmm. It was fun. It was very flirty and fun. And on the one hand, it seemed fast. But on the other hand, I felt like we talked for hours and we knew them so well and they already knew us. It was an interesting day.
Okay, so then comes the big moment, of course, when there's been some hands touching on legs and on arms. We're going to find out if we're really compatible here. So you move in close, face to face, and we start kissing.
And for me, that's totally where it's at. If a guy or a girl is not a good kisser, I can be like, okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
We're moving on. I'm such a kissing snob, and I really shouldn't be that way. But I always feel like a good kisser, a sensual kisser, is going to be a good sensual lover. And I'm a soft and sensual girl, so I want that soft kiss. I don't want your tongue down my throat. Don't bite my lips. Don't don't maul my face. Don't lick me.
Right.
It's all good.
And so this guy?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Very soft and sensual and kind of let me lead up a little bit, which I like when I can lead in the beginning because then I can teach him, like, this is what turns me on.
I knew that was going on, and that confidence next to me of the two of you, obviously you're comfortable and you're enjoying it, gives me so much more confidence so that I don't have to worry about you and your comfort, and I can just concentrate on her. And so I was kissing her, feeling her, rubbing her body, kissing in the hot tub. She's soft, she's sensual, she's exotic. It was fun. It was super hot.
And we always do the same thing. We always look at each other and I'll say, oh, he is a good kisser. You are going to like this. Or you'll say, oh, she is a good kisser. You're really going to like this couple.
For sure. So it's getting hot and there's sex going on everywhere around us because we're in this super highly sexually charged atmosphere. Like we needed more stimulation.
We did not because we had awesome kissers and sexy friends that were telling us their stories. So we moved to a playroom because we were like, enough of the water. We got to get some body-to-body contact here. This is just too hot.
So it's time. We're going to move into a playroom. Now, the way Sea Mountain is set up is there aren't necessarily playrooms. All the action happens all over the resort, and there are only a few rooms. But there is one room that is just off the pool area, big king-size bed in it, and a couch inside. And so no one was in there, and the four of us got up out of the water, toweled off. Unlike sometimes when the crazy, passionate wildness just turns into animal, lay on the bed, I'm not going to slow down. In this case, it was more like, okay, we all know where this is going, and we want to make it as great as possible. So we were able to take a two-minute break and go to the bathroom, go to the lockers, get our sex bag, get our swinger bag.
Yeah, and ask them, like, what are you comfortable with?
Right.
What do you want to do? Which sometimes we're not good at that. We got to get better about that because we get ourselves in trouble.
We just can't slow down.
We just are too hyped up and too sexed up, and we get in the room, and we're like, what are we doing? Yeah. Oh, I don't know. We're just going for
right.
it.
Well, these people, of course, were super cool about it. And so the four of us go into the room and we were able to close the door. So now we have some privacy, which we prefer privacy. That's mm-hmm. just our way. And that's when, you know, we are proud of the fact that our show helps bring new people in and teach them some things, but we learn too. And this new couple, they were teaching us.
Yeah, they brought out two small Tupperware tubs full of liquid coconut oil. We have used coconut oil. I use it for cooking. Sure. I've used it on like my heels. Okay, I have not used it as a full body massage in the middle of a foursome.
I know. I've heard about it on other podcasts and I've seen people using it and people are always saying, oh, you should do it. It's so great. It's a perfect lubricant. And I go, yeah, we'll get around to that. But now no. we understand why. Yeah,
because
thank you, California couple.
Yeah, because they brought it out and dripped it on both of us girls and rubbed all over us. I was like, oh, I was so turned on. It was
so slippery.
Yes.
And so slick. And it's not like a little dab of lube that just kind of stays in one area. Because it's an inexpensive oil and very slippery and very liquid, it'll spread everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
From your chin to your toes.
Oh, yeah. And we were covered in it. And it was so awesome because we were so slippery. And, you know, it doesn't smell. It doesn't taste. It's just this liquid love-making machine.
I know. It was awesome. That was a great innovation. We learn great things from new people.
And so we started playing with them, and it was easy because they knew what we liked. They had listened to our podcast. They seemed comfortable. We knew what they liked because we had talked about their stories. It was just an easy flow of touching, kissing, fingering, tasting.
So eventually, after all the massages, after all the fingering, after blowjobs, both the girls had orgasms. It was very, very sexy, and out came the condoms.
Mm-hmm.
I remember watching you laying on your back with your whole body glistening mm-hmm. with coconut oil as he put that condom on, got between your legs, and it didn't take much to slide in.
Oh, you yeah. It's so slippery, and I wrapped my legs up around his back and hooked my feet together, and I could barely hook my feet together. They were all so slippery from coconut oil.
I love to watch you in pleasure. I love to watch the woman I'm with in pleasure. So I'm able to finger her and rub her and watch, as well as slide that condom on. And eventually I was with her too. Side by side, mm-hmm. all four of us on one mm-hmm. bed, slathered in coconut.
Oh, it was so hot. We finished up and we were kind of just basking in the afterglow, just kind of snuggled up together.
Thanking each other and just lightly caressing and rubbing the remnants of the coconut oil in. All of a sudden, a shock comes. The door bursts open.
And a girl, a worker from C-Mount comes in and locks it open.
Yeah, she ties like this cable around the door handle to a bolt that was on the wall and padlocks it so that it couldn't be closed and left it wide open and left the room. Sort of like
she didn't even say anything to us, like I'm sorry, but we have to leave this open now. She didn't do anything.
No.
She just opened the door, locked it open, and walked out.
Yeah,
we were
like,
oh,
private time is over. This is a group room.
And so I was like, oh well, I'm kind of glad we're done, just because I'm not always comfortable with that. And as we're just getting up, here comes a group of like 8 people into the room with all their new sheets, and they're like, are you guys done or can we join? And we're like, oh no, we're like, we're done.
Yeah.
You can have it now.
Yeah. So we jumped up out of that bed and
ran.
Relinquished the room.
And we ran from the room. Not that they weren't sexy, the people coming in, it's just that we didn't know them.
No,
so
that's, and of course we were totally satisfied.
We were done. Oh, and lubed up with coconut oil.
Yeah. It was an awesome afternoon. It was great to meet new friends, and it wasn't even that late of a night. We actually collapsed into the car and prepared ourselves for the long 3.5-hour drive all the way back to Las Vegas. And all the way home in the dark, we were able to relive and recount the story and remember it to each other of how sexy and fun it was. We pulled out our phone and we made another diary entry recording. And we learned from that experience that our podcast touches people and our podcast helps people and it helps enhance their relationships. But the best part is we never stop learning, and meeting new people like that, it helps us expand our swinging experience too.
Mm-hmm. We learned a lot.
We learned a lot.
And we only killed one jackrabbit on the way home, so it was okay.
Poor jackrabbit.
I felt so bad he went the wrong way. It was a great adventure. It made us miss our podcast even more. And so, Diary, that's what's been happening in our awesome swinging adventure.
And after almost a year layoff, we can't wait to see what will happen to us next.
I love you.
I love you too.
Thanks for listening. If you like what you've heard and you want more information about us and our diaries, you can visit us on our blog page at swingerdiaries.wordpress.com. In addition to our program's blog, our feed is available through iTunes and Stitcher. We invite you to follow us on Twitter, where we are at Swinger Diaries, or you'll find our profile under the name Swinger Diaries on Cassidy. You can also join our community there. And of course, as always, if you have any questions or a comment, you can contact us directly through email at rswingerdiaries@gmail.com. That's OurSwingerDiaries@gmail.com.